Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young. And sitting in the guest chair today is Becky Morrison. Becky is the author of The Happiness Recipe. And guess what? That's what we're going to be talking about today, The Happiness Recipe. So welcome, Becky.
Thank you, Myrna. I appreciate you having me here.
You're very welcome. Yes, my favorite topic, happiness. Because you know what? We all live to and aspire for happiness. So every single person within the sound of our voices today can pick up something about the happiness recipe and, you know, how can we be happy? One of my favorite quotes on happiness is that happiness is working towards a purpose or a goal. And I feel that if you're not working towards something, you can actually never be happy. So we will expand on that in this conversation and, of course, add and subtract from that when we're talking about the recipe. All right, so let me give you some more information on Becky, short bio. Becky Morrison is a mom, wife, and lawyer turned happiness coach. Her mission is to spread joy. She believes most people can live happier, easier lives if they get clear on what matters most to them and then develop a plan to do more of that and less of the rest. She wants to enable people to find clarity and happiness so that everybody wins. Now, Becky is using her experience coupled with her own journey to help people supercharge their success and happiness by finding clarity, taking the next step in their career, overcoming overwhelm, going from idea to action, and stepping into their authentic leadership presence. Becky brings all this together in her recently published book, The Happiness Recipe, A Powerful Guide to Living What Matters. Awesome. All right. So let's dive right in. Your story, and I didn't read it all in your bio, but you can fill in the gaps for our listeners. Your story of coming from corporate lawyer to happiness coach reminds me of the first book I read in my quest for enlightenment, for growth. And that is the book called, from Robin Sharma, that's called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. So for those who didn't know, you know, Robin Sharma, or the character in the book, was a corporate lawyer, had a heart attack, and then he went to live with the monks in the Himalayas, and he changed his life and the world and mine and a couple other people with his book. So how did it happen for you?
Was it well, I mean, it was not quite that glamorous or far flung for me. But it is a story of evolution and transformation. And it starts with me doing what a lot of us do, which is doing all the things I thought I was supposed to do. Going to the good school, getting the good grades, getting the job, then going back to graduate school to become an attorney, then getting the job at the big law firm with the big paycheck to be on the partnership track, and landing in a place, and this is now 16 years ago, where one night I found myself sitting on the floor of the bathroom with a toddler in the tub and the cordless phone clipped to the back of my pants and the toilet seat cover down with a notebook on it and papers spread all around me. And I was doing two things at the same time. Wow. I was bathing my toddler daughter and trying to prepare an expert witness for their upcoming deposition. And I had two thoughts in super quick succession. The first thought was, who says you can't do it all? Like, look at me. I'm a mom. I'm a lawyer. I'm here. I'm killing it. This is amazing. That was quickly followed by, and I'm exhausted. And this is unsustainable. And perhaps more importantly and more scarily, I'm not sure this is making me happy.
Right.
And that kicked off my own sort of, you said, my quest for transformation and growth, my own quest for transformation and growth to figure out, well, okay, what does it mean if I've done all of the things that I was supposed to do and I've checked all the boxes and I'm not happy? What the heck does happiness come from then if it's not from success, if it's not from the result? And more, yeah. And then for me, what is it that's most, you know, you talked about happiness is working towards a purpose or a goal. What am I working towards here? Why am I here in this season of my life? What is my top priority? What is the most important thing? Fast forward a winding career through big law firms, the world of finance, and I land again at a decision point where I'm about to be without a job. And I did what most of us do when we're about to be without a job, despite the fact that I've worked very hard on figuring out how to navigate this life and career that makes me happy. I panicked and I started to think about, what can I do? And the reality is, I could do a lot of things. I'm a lawyer with a ton of management experience, a whole bunch of process experience. I've been a COO. I mean, the list of jobs that I could apply for is pretty long. And thankfully, I had some voices in my life who said, time out. This is an opportunity. What do you want to do? Not what can you do, but what do you want to do? And that's how I landed in this business of helping other people chart their success and happiness.
Yeah. That's a good story. I love your evolution. One of the things I will add, when you're in the tub, you know, when you're, you know, bathing your child and doing work, is that you're not giving her that attention. So it's not fair.
Yeah, no, I wasn't fully focused on one or the other. That's 100% accurate. That doesn't mean that I didn't still think I was killing it, to be clear. I thought I could, you know, like, we have these moments in our lives where we're like, what do you mean give 100%? I have 200% to give, and I'm giving 100% to both these things right now. That truly, if I asked myself in that moment, was probably partially what I thought, but you're right. I had split focus, and split focus is not efficient, effective, or meaningful. So
Yes. But you're painting a good picture. Yes, that's what mothers do. You know, they have one on the hip and they have a phone in the hand and, you know, walking around and they're doing it all. So that's amazing. Okay. So that was the start of your evolution, your transformation. But you asked yourself the question, this is not making me happy. I'm working towards a goal. I'm working towards partnership. You see that, you know, you're immediately disrupting my definition. You are working towards a goal. You're working towards, you know, financial success. You're working towards partnership. But then you asked yourself, you know, is it making me happy? Because I guess the other part of that is fulfillment. And somehow it wasn't hitting the fulfillment button inside. So now you're teaching others this question. How do we identify the essential sources of happiness? So a great segue into that question.
Yeah. So I just, you know, as I'm thinking real quick before I answer your question, as I'm thinking about your definition, I actually think it's pretty right on. The only thing I would do is add a couple words at the end. Uh-huh. And those words would be, that matters to you. Working towards a purpose or a goal that matters to you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's lots of goals.
Then you get the fulfillment part.
That's how you check that box. Exactly. And so one of the things that I learned about happiness along the way is that happiness actually doesn't come from arriving at the destination. Happiness has to come on the journey. And so when you ask, you know, how do we find our essential sources of happiness? I have a little exercise that I like to do with people that might seem silly or small, but it's actually not. And it's about developing a menu of things that you can do that are easy and accessible that you know are going to create a positive emotional experience for you.
Hey, are you always scrolling Amazon trying to find the best deals? How about trying something different? And head over to happyhourshopping.com. Happy Hour Shopping is an online store where you can find the best Amazon products at Happy Hour Prices. Here you will find interesting, innovative, and high quality merchandise at reduced prices all in one store. This online store has a collection of over 5,000 products, including luxury, beauty, clothing, electronics, automotive parts, kids' toys, and much more. So, enhance your life and save time. Grab the best products any online store has to offer as soon as possible, and don't miss your opportunity to save both time and money, because opportunity never knocks twice. That website again is happyhourshopping.com. WB Mining combines play and fun of investing. It is the world's first real and interactive investment game of its kind. We have set ourselves the goal of revolutionizing the entertainment industry with our novel concept. WB Mining is an idea by Joshin Wenell, who made a name for himself in the past for his innovative concepts in marketing, sales, and the entertainment industry. With WB Mining, Wenell combines these three aspects into an unprecedented entertainment cocktail that promises excitement and thrills for everyone involved. The game. Imagine opening an app on your smartphone. It is an economic and construction simulation where the aim is to make smart decisions, expand your empire, and increase your income. Head over to w-mining.com for the rules of the game and to submit your Gold Rush application. That website again is wb-mining.com.
And it's funny, when I ask people what makes you happy, I get typically one of two types of answers. The first is, yeah, that's a good question, right? Because we have not sat down to make that list. Yeah, or right. I get a list of sort of what I'll call the obvious ones, you know, time with my family, vacation, pretty clothes, pretty things, you know, the list that we would think of
or we can use Oprah's one, sitting in the bathtub, right?
Well, and this is where I'm going with that. I'm going to the Oprah place, right? Because what we actually need to do to get down to the essential sources of our joy or of those positive emotional experiences is to ask a few more questions and get down to the simple things that you can do to add happiness into your daily life. Mm-hmm. And so the way I like to do it when I'm sitting with a client is ask them to brainstorm a list of 5 to 7 things and ask them not to judge. Because you know what? On my list, kind of like Oprah sitting in a bathtub, is getting into a bed that is clean. Clean sheets make me so happy, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And so it's coming up with a list of 5 to 7 and not judging them, and then taking one on that list and asking yourself, what about that makes me happy? So take the Oprah example. What about being in the bathtub brings me joy? Mm-hmm. Is it the solitude? Is it the warmth of my body? Is it the time with my thoughts? Like, there's something more than just the bathtub that brings you joy. And I'll give you a concrete example of kind of going through this whole process. I was talking with somebody and their first answer was vacation, mm-hmm. which is an answer for a lot of us. We vacation should be a source of happiness. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, what is it about vacation? And we went through several steps and finally he landed on, you know what it is? Most of the time when we go on vacation, we visit my in-laws and they have a pool and the pool has a beautiful view. And every morning I get up and I go and sit in the corner of that pool and I have an hour with my thoughts and nature. And I love every second of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's super cool. But also what makes it extra, extra cool is you don't have to wait to go on vacation to have that. Right. To have time with your thoughts in nature.
Like once or twice a year at best, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. If that's so powerfully meaningful to your happiness, do it more. And I want to add, like, for those who might be thinking, this is a cute idea, like I'll develop this list and then I'll sprinkle it in my life. But like, what? Come on. Like, we're busy. I don't have time. living a happy life, living a day where you have positive emotional experiences, it does some pretty important things for us. It's not just that it feels good. It actually increases our productivity, our success, our creativity, our problem-solving abilities, and it deepens our resilience. So it's not just about feeling good in those little moments where you're dropping these little essential sources of joy into your life. It's about feeling, having all of this, like, it's almost like in a video game, like a turbo boost, mm-hmm. you know, this ability that goes up because you're bringing positivity, positive experiences into your life. And I need to say, it's not about ignoring the tough times either. You have to live through those, but it is about having the capability then to drop back in these little positive moments.
I actually like that. So what you're saying is that we find our sources of happiness where, you know, and as you were talking, of course, I'm thinking of myself because we're having a conversation, right? And, you know, I have time in the morning for my happiness and I have time at night for my happiness. And one of my happiness is walking in the park every day. And while you were going through that, you're saying, "No, why is it walking in the park makes me happy?" And I actually answered that one day after doing it for a long time, a long time, because I have my headphones in and I'm listening to part of my happiness is I'm listening to inspirational books or I'm listening to podcasts. And there was one day I was listening to a really good inspirational story. Mm-hmm. I think it was Mike Tyson or somebody that had you, you know, on, you know, waiting for the next word. It was so good. And my headphones went out. And I recognized at that moment how a 10 level it is for me to be walking in the park and listening to inspirational things. You know what I mean? Because, it's... So at that point in time, I said to myself, you know what? This is a level 10 joy.
Yeah.
And when I can't have it, you know what I mean? Headset comes out, can't listen, then I recognize. But I also have joy at the end of the night because the end of the night, you know, I watch comedy and laugh my head off. And that's important for me too. And I know definitely what it does for me. It increases my energy level. It mm-hmm. increases my happiness level. It also, if you're a follower of Wayne Dyer, he talks about, oh, you have to feel good. And if you feel good, then the law of attraction works for you. It's a whole circle of things it's all in that spectrum. So,
yes. Yeah. And the cool thing is you've got some routines that you use to build that into your life, but on a particularly difficult day or on a day where things are feeling off, you could take 10 minutes and listen to something inspirational, not in the park, or you could take 10 minutes and tune into something that will make you laugh or, you know what I mean? So like it's mm-hmm. having this truly the reason I call it essential sources of joy is because I really want you to distill it down to its essence. And I think of it as like little drops of seasoning that you can literally sprinkle in as needed. You know, like it's been a long day. I think I'll change the sheets before I go to bed. So I have that moment tonight.
Oprah likes sheets too.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she likes,
can't argue that she's got good taste.
Expensive sheets with the, you know, with a tread count or something.
Yeah.
She just doesn't like sheets, but she likes the,
the fancy sheets. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to complain about the fancy sheets, but for me,
it's just clean,
the clean, right? Crisp, like freshly made bed is a special thing. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. Now, one of the things you say is, this is going to be new information for me, is you said that we can invite our nervous system to become a partner in our happiness. So, you know, like I was just talking about, you know, happiness makes you feel good, or when you're doing the things that make you happy in that moment, right? You feel good and it helps with your health and it helps with you talked about resilience and all that. But your nervous system is a little different. So how do we do that?
So a lot of times more happiness for us lives on the other side of some sort of change, mm-hmm. whether it's change in behavior, change in circumstance, change in mindset. And at the most basic level, one of the important jobs that our nervous system plays is to keep us safe, literally to keep us alive. And that's where, I mean, you've heard of it, the fight or flight response. That's where that comes from, or that's what that does. And so often when we're trying to make a change, it can feel really uncomfortable and unpleasant because it is our nervous system saying, no, 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 please don't. I know how to keep you alive here. And I don't care if the biggest rainbow unicorn pot of money is sitting over there. I'm not evaluating the possible future success. I'm only evaluating, do I know how to keep you safe there? No, I do not. We've never been there.
Right.
And so often we mistake that discomfort for a sign that we shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And what I like to do is work with people. I think of that discomfort, which often exists not so much in our brains, but in our bodies. Like if you can think of a time where you've thought about taking a leap or making a change, and you can think about, you know, even as I'm talking about it, I can feel it, like the heart pounding, or the stomach, the tummy doing the thing, or the tension in the neck, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think about it a little bit like a check engine light. Like an indicator that we're about to go into a place where our nervous system is not making intelligent decisions for us. Mm-hmm. It is making safety-based decisions. And that's a good thing because it has kept us safe and it has kept us alive. And some of these patterns we've learned from specific experiences in our lives or in our past. But without fully untangling those patterns, you can still play with the notion that different physical cues mean different things. And it's just your nervous system raising its hand to say, hey, excuse me, I'm a little concerned because I don't know how to keep us safe there. And once you can frame it that way, you can realize that you can get excited about that feeling because what it means is you're changing and you're growing and you're reaching towards that future happiness. Yeah. But it requires taking the time to tune in. And often, so the other important piece of information is that most of our nervous system or part of our nervous system lives in our body part, in our brain. The pathways from your brain to your body are outweighed by the pathways from your body to your brain. So it's 80% body to brain, 20% brain to body. So we often think that we spot a threat with our minds. We spot a threat with our bodies. And so if you can learn to read those cues, like, oh, I'm getting that feeling in my stomach, that means I'm about to be triggered into fight or flight and I'm going to get in front of it. I'm going to use my higher self, my brain to say, calm down. I've got this. I'm going to keep us safe. You don't need to worry. That often can help stop that getting triggered and getting into that really heightened response around this feels really scary and really wrong.
It may surprise you to know that over 90% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. That is why Artsy Animate want to help you scale your business for success. According to business owners, two reasons for failure are money running out and ineffective marketing. In order to grow your business and shine, you need people to help you grow. Here at Artsy Animate, we dabble in all of it. Our team of experts all have over 5 years experience. We develop top quality websites and offer you our best SEO strategies to help you rank and stay ahead of the competition at affordable prices. We would help guide you reach your ultimate goal, success, bringing in more clients for your business. For more information, visit us at www.artsyanimate.com or contact us at support@artsyanimate.com. That website again is www.artsyanimate.com.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yes, because, you know, in order to be happy as well, you need to be in the parasympathetic nervous system kind of thing where you're not being triggered and you're not frightened or whatever.
Yes,
100%. But it's very true that our brain the brain's function is to warn us about impending danger and to keep us safe. So yeah, which is why one of the first things I learned myself on my journey of self-improvement is that you've got to get out of your comfort zone. Because whenever you sit in your comfort zone, you're not moving, you're not growing or whatever. And just like you just said, that whenever you feel fear or whenever you feel nervous or whatever, you should get in front of it and say, hey, you know what? You know, I got to get out of my comfort zone in order to grow. And it's actually a good thing to do. So I like the tie-in. But a lot of people, because you know, in this space that me and you are in, it's a very small space, a very small percentage, because a lot of people will not get out of their comfort zone. A lot of people will not get in front of the fight or flight. They will take the easy way and say, hey, you know what? I'm afraid, you know, I think, you know, I'm quoting all kinds of phrases here today, but one of the phrases that I quote a lot is feel the fear, but do it anyway. So do it afraid, because yes, on the other side of comfort is where growth is. You never grow sitting on your couch flipping the remote.
You don't. And I think it's the other mistake I see people make is they try to, you have to grow through the fear, but actually I think you have to grow with the fear. And there's an important difference there, because mm-hmm. one of the other features of our nervous system is that, you know, if you think about your nervous system as a toddler a little bit, and they're saying, wait, 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 it's an issue. Pay attention to me. And you tell it, shh, I'm doing it anyway. Shh. What does a toddler do when you tell it to be quiet and it wants to say something? It just gets noisy, noisier and noisier until it is throwing.
Mommy,
yes.
Mommy.
Yes. Tug, tug, exactly. Tug, tug. So it is growing with the fear, meaning acknowledging what that message is. I get it. I hear you. You're trying to keep me safe, but I've got this. Is very different than, shh, I'm going to do it anyway. And it's a subtle right. difference, but it's an important difference for how it will feel as you're living it.
Yeah. So how do you teach them to acknowledge the fear?
I do a lot of self-talk, really. I mean, that can be a very powerful technique. Mm-hmm. It could be journaling. It could be, but I do think it is just one of the things I've done with some clients who have sort of really, been resistant when we hit this kind of fear is I'll have them spend a week or two just cataloging their different nervous system signals. And it's kind of fun. I did it with a client who's a very scientific person, and they came back with the like data analysis, and they were like, do you know what? I've got different signals that mean different things. I was like shocked and surprised, had no idea. Of course, that's how it works, right? Like the churning stomach might be a fear of rejection. The pounding heart might be a fear of disappointing somebody. The tension in the neck might be a perfectionism thing. And you can, once you can start to then even further and deeply and more specifically catalog those things, then when you have that feeling, you're like, oh, that's just my fear of getting it wrong. That's okay. It's okay if I get it wrong here. And you have the specific self-talk to work with that specific fear.
But also, like they say, like anything that you acknowledge and anything you recognize, the first part of you doing is that you're getting rid of it. You know what I mean? So the fact that you can say, oh, when your stomach is churning, because a lot of people have it there, when your stomach is churning is that, you know, because you're afraid of whatever, the minute that you recognize that, become conscious of it, you're already on your way to getting rid of it.
You're it's right. Like And so many times somebody will just name it. Like they'll say, oh yeah, that's just because I'm afraid of getting it perfect. And then they kind of look at them. It's almost like that look at like, why do I think I need to be perfect? Yeah. Like, that's so, you know, like, but it is an old pattern. That's what it is. Somewhere along the line, you had an experience where your nervous system was taught that if you are not perfect, you risk your needs not getting met. That's it. And once you can recognize that especially as an adult, most of your needs you can meet on your own. Mm-hmm. You don't need your nervous system to help you stay connected to get them met. Mm-hmm.
No, and you don't need your nervous system with the fight or flight thing either, unless you're really running from danger.
Correct.
And
you don't
come into contact with that.
No, we right. don't. Hopefully, right? I mean, ideally, not very often.
No, not in this. I'm understanding that came way back from when we were living in caves or something.
Yes, it is. It's very super primitive. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And we're still carrying it around with us. My goodness. And yeah, we're living in our, you know, in houses and this modern technology, and we still have the fight or flight inner nervous system. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you have got a recipe. You talked about a menu earlier, a recipe for happiness. So let's dissect that now. What is the happiness recipe?
So I don't know. Sometimes I worry that when I say this, people are going to be like, that's it. But here's the deal. And you've sort of said it in your definition, but the recipe for maximum happiness is super simple. Do more of what matters to you and less of the rest. Simple, though, obviously doesn't mean easy. There's a lot that goes into that very short phrase and to the execution of that very short phrase. And I've identified what I think are sort of the three areas where there can be gaps that stop us from executing on that recipe. And the first is what I call the authenticity gap. And it's, do we know what matters most to us? And are we willing to claim it publicly? Because to live it, you have to be willing to speak it. You have to be willing to share it. You have to be willing to have other people see it. Then there's the middle gap. I call that the emotional energy gap. And that's the mindset gap. That's all the beliefs and feelings that get in the way of us executing on that knowledge, right? We know what matters most to us. We know the goal or purpose that we want to be working towards, but can we actually, do we have the mindset and belief that will allow us to make that happen? And then the third gap is the physical energy gap, which is really the execution piece. How do you align your time, energy, and resources with what matters most to you? And I call it priority aligned living. So up in the front with the authenticity gap, you set your top priority for this season of your life. And then you go and live in alignment with that.
Okay. Yes, you're right. That's pretty, you know, it's pretty simple. So we've got some time. So walk us through an example of, you know, a client or, you know, something in your book that, you know, somebody has a situation where they are authentic, then they, you know, they wrap their mindset around their beliefs system that they can be, you know, they can mm-hmm. reach their goal. If we're saying, you know, happiness is working towards a goal. And then the third part would be, you know, what action they took. Do you have an example?
Oh, so you want like a start to finish example?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of a good one. I'll do it in bits and pieces just because that's a little bit easier.
Okay.
So let's talk about authenticity first. And this is one where I see a lot of, I mean, this is frankly where I start with everybody that I work with, because in our world, connection to self is not encouraged or facilitated. We are encouraged to be outwardly connected. We are encouraged to be outwardly focused. We are not encouraged to really listen to our own inner voice, our intuition, and really connect with what matters to us, right? And so, not surprisingly,
is that because you think that we are living someone else's life? Like someone told us this is what we should do. And that's what we do. You know, even we're talking about lawyer, a lot of times, you know, people get into become a lawyer because they were told that that's a good career. That's, you know, whatever, but they hate being a lawyer.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It comes from lots of places, right? It can come from our family of origin. It can come from the media. It can come from our friend group. It can come from even coworkers within an organization. It can come from a supervisor somewhere along the way saying, this is what you should do. Right. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's wonderful because somebody outside of us sees something in us that we haven't yet seen, but you need to take the added step to check in and say, is this where I want to put my energy? Not that I'm doing it because somebody else told me they believe I'd be good at it. That's great. My guess is you'd be good at a lot of things that don't matter to you. Right.
Yeah,
and so being good at it, being capable of it cannot be the barometer. And so, what happens is we live a life based on what we think we should do. And almost all of us are victims of the shoulds from time to time. And I will add, as your life evolves, as your work evolves, as your career or business evolves, even if you've done a lot of work, you can still find yourself victim to the shoulds because the shoulds are so loud.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the first step is, how do you shed the shoulds and what do you really want? And it's making sure that you can narrow it down to one thing per season. And I'll give you a specific example here. I had a client, we got to that place and it was like, yeah, so my priority for this season is to be the best at work and at home. How's that going to work? What do you do when you have to choose?
That's basically a should, because someone is telling her that's what she should be, right? Yes.
And right. So what do you do when you have to choose? How will you decide? And the whole goal of really tuning into that North Star, the single priority for the season, is to help create some decision-making clarity for you. Does it align with your top priority? That's how you can decide. And so that's just one small example, but there's a lot that goes into that. And there's a lot of fear that goes in sometimes to claiming it. And I'll tell you a story if it's okay. I don't want to speak too long on any one of these things, but from my childhood. So my mom was also a lawyer. She worked for a very large corporation for most of her career. She went to law school when I was in kindergarten-ish. So a little bit of a unique story, but as she rose up the ranks as in-house counsel for this large corporation, they put her through a leadership development program. And as part of that, she was asked to do exactly this, identify her North Star, her top priority. And then she was assigned to come home and share it with the family. And the family, I'm an only child, so the family was me and my father. And she came home, and I was probably 12 or 13 at the time. And she said, you know, she was nervous. And she said, I need to tell you that my top priority is my job.
Oh, wow.
And I said, as a typical middle schooler, no, duh. I mean, that's how she was living, right? But it still was scary to claim it. It still was scary to name it. And sometimes when I tell people that story, they say,
it's actually pretty brave, because she knows that that is not what is expected of her.
Yes.
The family should be first. But a lot of people put their jobs first, but they don't have the bravery, the courage to say,
to claim it. Yeah. And so she had been living that way. And I was excited, frankly, when she claimed it. I wasn't upset. I didn't feel unloved. I knew she loved me. And I knew if I was in real danger or had a real need, that she would make herself available. Mm-hmm. But fast forward, I told you the bathtub moment story. What that led to was my realization that I actually wanted to have a family first season. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's funny is I was so scared to tell my mom, because here's a woman who claimed her career, who put it first, who was very successful, who paved the way for me to do that. Mm-hmm. And I had to call her and say, no, actually what's most important to me is being a present mother. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, a family first season for me didn't mean that I wasn't working outside the home. It just meant that I would find a job that would allow me to be flexible and available for my family when they needed me.
Yeah. Coaching does that. That's actually one of the big, big reasons a lot of women go into coaching, because they can do both.
Right? Yes. So I called her and said, just wanted to let you know, this is what I've figured out. This is a family first season for me. And you know what her answer was? No, duh. Uh-huh. And so, you know, here I was, here I was scared to tell her, scared to share, but the reality is what she wanted for me was for me to claim what was important to me.
So let's go into the mindset shift. So what mindset shift that you have to claim your authenticity, and let's use you as the example.
Sure.
Claimed it. You figure out that your family first, you found it. I mean, you probably said it already, because you found a job that you can put that first, and then you switched your mindset. So you're an easy one.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, no, and I guess maybe what I can do is I'll say what I had to work through, but I'll also say that these things are common that a lot of people have to deal with as they're making this shift. And there's three big ones that stand out to me. One is being willing to say no. Two is letting go of guilt. And three is believing that you're worthy. The good enough story is a story and an issue and a mindset thing for almost everyone that I've ever met, including the most amazing people that I've ever met, which is how I know it's a story. Because if the most amazing people on earth are worried that they aren't good enough, it can't possibly be true.
Yeah. As you were talking, I remember Michelle Obama as well, you know, a lawyer, and she did not enjoy being a lawyer at all. You know, it's probably one of her shoulds, because, you know, when you grew up poor, you go for doctor or lawyer.
Yes, yes.
That is what they tell you to get out of the poverty, doctor or lawyer. So, you know, obviously it was a should, and she recognized that she found no joy in it. But yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
all right, so we got the authenticity part and then the mindset and the action.
So the action, what I want to talk about here, and I think is important to highlight, is often when we're making a shift to live a happier life or to live more in alignment, what really needs to change for a lot of it is a habit. It's not a goal that we need to set. It's an identity that we need to become, right? And we often mistake it for a goal. And so we give it a finish line and we give it this big push and we try to think that we're going to arrive. But you don't arrive at this new identity. You only arrive, or you're only finished building a new identity when you A, decide to change it, or B, die. That's it. Those are the only options. There's no finish line. Right. And so building a habit looks very different in behavior, or building a successfully building a habit looks very different in behavior than achieving a goal. And so that is the focus of a lot of my work, is helping people figure out how to reorient their habits and their living to fit this newly aligned place that they're trying to be in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I also have another one. As you were talking, as people talk, you know, things pop into my mind, which is why, you know, I think I'm a great interviewer. But as you were talking, I remembered a classic story of, you know, walking in your authentic power, or walking, being authentic to who you should be and not what people say. My daughter, I mean, you know, from since she was very, very young, people have been talking into her life. Wasn't me, was her guidance counselors, you know, somebody prophesied in her, because we're Christians and very spiritual. Somebody prophesied in her, and everybody guided her to the point where she was supposed to be a social worker, right? And she started going to school for it. She got her bachelor's degree in social work. You know, she started working with the developmentally disabled kids, was a supervisor for them, and she was on her way. And then one day she read the book by Malcolm X, you know, A Long Walk to Freedom, and changed her life. She now wanted to make a difference in the world politically. So she came in, and it was very interesting that I was going through a training as a coach. I didn't even have my license yet. And what I was doing, when you're training, you know, you got to speak to everybody and coach everybody. So she came to me one day and said that she wants to, you know, become a political person, right? And at the time, I had just learned, like a week ago or something, that you should never bash anyone's dreams or goals, that you should always encourage. So I'm sitting there as this mom coach, and I'm thinking, there's no way my sweet daughter, that is like a Mother Teresa, would have the, you know, the characteristics to become a politician. But I didn't say that. I encouraged her, you know, and, you know, she defied all odds by getting into the top political school and graduating with her master's. And now she is in Washington and a game changer. But it's that little moment. You know what I mean? Yeah, go ahead.
It is. And I think, look, this is, if nothing else, I have learned by my very winding path through the first 46 years of my life, that the notion that we can see where we're going to end up is nonsense. So stop trying to see it. Yeah. Just take the next aligned step, the step that feels right in the moment, and let the path unfold before you. Because what it's going to bring you is so greater than anything you could ever have imagined. Like, if you could tell that woman who was sitting on the floor of the bathroom with the two-year-old that she was ultimately going to be a coach focused on happiness, who wrote a book about happiness, she would have been like,
nah.
That is
nah.
What in what world? Like,
yes.
And so can't see the this is the Michelle Obama's book, right? You can't see the becoming that is coming.
Yes. That's a good quote. That's true. All right. Yes. You can't see. And a lot of times which is why they also tell you to dream big and not mm-hmm. believe that reality, because, you know, one of the things that I took from Will Smith is that he said, you know, you don't think of reality, you just, you know, break it, because, you know, you might be sitting here thinking that there's no way a person from the South Side, like Michelle Obama, could ever be president, you know, first lady. You would never, ever in your wildest dreams dream that. But using her as an example, what did she do? She took the first step. She recognized that she was unhappy being a lawyer, and she went to one step, and then she met a man, and she, you know, and step after step.
Step
at a time. Yes. Yep. So, yes.
And I think, too, we are prone as humans for, and I don't know why exactly, except maybe it's like a safety thing, but we're prone as humans to narrow more than we need to. And I'll give you just a really small concrete example. I was talking to a client just recently who wants to make a geographic change. And she was like, she came to me and she was like, how am I going to pitch this change to my current job? She's like, I figure I can offer them this compromise situation where I take a lesser role and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, time out. Why do we need to compromise?
Yeah, we go there first. Yes, 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 yes.
Why don't you just tell them, this is what I need?
Yes.
What do you need? And let's see if we can find a way to meet both of our needs.
Yeah.
And I think that's just like, that's a very micro example, but is actually like a macro thing to remember of like, time out. Yeah. Stop narrowing when you don't have to.
Yeah. Again, it's personality. Yeah, you always want to be lesser. You always think that you should be compromising. You always think that, you know what I mean? That you can't act for the big things. You know what I mean? You got to slide it in kind of thing. So yeah, listen, coaching opens up a lot of stuff, you know? So I congratulate you for being a coach and congratulate you for using, you know, your experience to help all the women, because you've been through it. You've been through, crossing off the boxes to get into the top of your career. You became a mom, you did the both things, and now you can help somebody, because, you know, they say that you have to have the experience. You can't read it from a book in order to, you know, to help others. You've got to walk through it, walk the walk. So, you know, what you're doing is a great thing. And, you know, helping, you know, I think you coach men as well, because you mentioned the guy, but, you know, who are the people that you help that you're able to help them get to the next level? Yeah. So, you know, as we wrap up, so a couple, you know, couple final questions here. You told us about your happiness recipe, where we all know you can get it on Amazon, but give us your website and maybe a couple of your social media handles, or so that people can connect with you.
So I will just give you my website, which is untanglehappiness.com. And on there, you can find all the social ways to connect with me on social media. You can find a link to my book. You can learn about the work that I do. And I think that's the big stuff. I've also got this is going to go up soon, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got a free five-day happiness jumpstart kind of boot camp challenge starting on Monday, November 1st. So for anyone who's interested, you can find the information about that on my website as well.
Okay. So that's only for 5 days.
It'll be initially for 5 days, and then mm-hmm. I probably will run it again. So if you can't make the November 1st, keep an eye out, because it's coming back. This is just my first time to try it, and I'm going to do it live. So
okay, that's awesome. Well, November 1st is next week, so yeah, we wouldn't be live by then. Okay, so, yeah. So when they get to your website, all that will be there. So that was untanglehappiness.com.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So yeah, it's been a really incredible conversation, Becky. You know, we talked about happiness. You know, we shared some, you know, to me, the big takeaway from this conversation is your sources of happiness. I love that. You know what I mean? You know, if you were to talk to somebody about, are they happy? They're probably going to be talking about, you know, is my life good? Is my husband good to me? Am I making enough money? Am I living my dream life? You know what I mean? And they're going to the big things of happiness, you know? And we talked about, And when I found that that definition of happiness is working towards a goal or a purpose, you're not even there yet. The fact that you're taking those steps towards it is what makes you happy, because you're moving towards something. When you feel stuck or you think you're going backwards is when you're unhappy. So it's the same thing, finding moments to bring you joy, clean sheets, a bath. Everybody can do that. Everybody can sit in the bath. You know what I mean? You don't have to have waterfalls. Like,
yeah. Like, doesn't have to be extra fancy, right? Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So yeah, you can take a walk like me. My happiness is walking in a park. You know, everywhere you go, you can find a park with trees, you know, yes. And walk, you know. So is finding your source of happiness. Some people will tell you it's a good book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whatever is your source of happiness, and you start there. And then you pick a goal or a purpose and you make little baby steps towards it. You know, once you're moving in the right direction, you are going to be happy. So thank you, Becky, for, you know, that simple recipe.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right.
It is a very simple recipe. So yes, you know, head over to Becky's website, connect with her, pick up a copy of her book, follow her on social media. And I also want to thank you guys for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio podcast and television show. If you're watching this on an Apple podcast or listening to this on Apple podcast, you know, please be sure to, you know, subscribe and leave and rate and review. That allows the show to reach more people, because when Apple sees that people are liking it, then they distribute it to more places. Yeah, so thank you. You know, thank you guys all for tuning in. So Becky, any last words?
I don't think I have anything else except to say thank you for this fun conversation. I really appreciate you. I appreciate that there are people like you doing this work and sharing these important messages and providing platforms for people like me to get the word out. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. I absolutely enjoy it. Yeah, because I do believe that, you know, if you transform your mind, that you will transform your life. It starts there. You know?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, listen, thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, blessings.